I've just recorded a really long and rambly boo, for which I apologise, on the subject of mainstream and specialist education. Just to recap, Claire Randall started this subject off, I couldn't help feeling at the time when she did that that she was opening the most enormous barrel of worms. I think it's a really interesting topic and is particularly interesting, I think, hearing from people in different places taking a view on it. Claire obviously talked about time in South Africa having a different international perspective on the same sort of subject is really quite interesting. In the previous boo, I took you through a rather exhaustive biography of my schooling, starting in a fully mainstream primary school, going on to a secondary school with a special needs centre, and then to do my A-levels at a college for the visually impaired. I hate the term the visually impaired. Why did I use that? For visually impaired people. And after doing that, I then talked about some of the, I was going to say pros and cons, but it was more the cons and pros of my time at secondary school, as I say, a mainstream school with a special needs centre. The centre did provide some useful support, at least at the beginning, but things became a lot more stretched towards the end. And I think, although I left that school with the GCSEs that I needed, for those who don't know, GCSEs are the main exams that are taken by children at age 16 at the end of key stage 4, is it, I think? And they are normally the sort of, they're the baseline that employers look for, and they are your ticket to your A-levels. So I've talked a lot about the mainstream side there, the pros and cons of it, in my view. I think as a grand experiment in teaching non-disabled children that disabled children are just the same as them, I think it is flawed. As a way of helping disabled children to live in the world that they will be living in post-education regardless, I think it has some merit. I think the bottom line is it depends on the student, it depends on the time of the point in their education, it depends on where they're planning on going. It needs choice. In specialist education, when I went to Hereford, I was joined by a number of people who had come from other specialist schools, most notably Dorton and New College Worcester. And I think my initial impression of some was that there were an awful lot of people with various tics or blindisms, or there were a lot of people who rocked. There were people who rocked. There were people who ate their dinner with their hands because they didn't know how to use cutlery. There were people who had been in such a constrained environment in the past that they didn't know how to behave when given the comparatively considerable freedom afforded to them at Hereford. I think that really sort of coloured my impression of the specialist secondary school area sector. A sector which, if you listen to my previous boo, you'd know that I tried to get into when moving from primary to secondary school. Being in a specialist college, as Amy Godwin said in her very good blog piece, I can't remember the name of the blog now. It was Upside Down something. I will, hang on, let me pause, because actually this is important. Okay, it's upsidedownchronicles.com, and is very much worth a read. The article, I think, was called Moving Forward, and talks about her transition from secondary to, you know, from mainstream secondary to a special college, specialist college. The overall benefit, or at least of my reading of it, the main overall benefit being that the visual impairment is no longer an issue when you go to a college for the visually impaired, for visually impaired people. It's amazing how easily it trips off the tongue. Dizzy Thinker is Emmy's audio handle, just remembered. So I would totally agree with that being one of the main benefits. Suddenly, everything is in the right format from the start. You have teachers who are used to teaching children with a range of different visual impairments. What are you up to? Are you right? Okay. If you need something, let me know. You're standing there. You're standing there. You were in an environment which was, at least safer for visually impaired people, that gave you at least an opportunity to practice your mobility in a more controlled environment before venturing into the big wide world outside. That was very much a positive thing. The small classes that you often get in specialist education were also really quite instrumental, I think, in meaning that the teacher could give each pupil the level of support that they needed as an individual. In some of my history lessons, lectures, whatever you want to call them, I was the only person at times. Sometimes there were two of us. The most we ever had, I think, was three. They were also used to adapting certain more difficult subjects. So, for instance, media studies. You know, how do you teach a visually impaired student how to critically assess a piece of video? So those were very strong benefits. I think there was also a fairly strong ethos of actually going on, continuing your education. You know, it was assumed that that you would go on to university. And whilst there might have been disagreements on exactly which university, they had their favourites. And my advice to anybody in that position at the moment would be to very much follow what you want to do, just because they think you should go to, say, Swansea, or is it Lampeter, it's in mid Wales somewhere. Doesn't mean that you should. There's no reason why you can't have a list that doesn't include any of their favourite choices. Just on the side. So that was very good. I've said about how I gained a lot more independence just through going out and doing things myself, going and finding my way around. But the formal mobility as well gave me more confidence with a long cane, which is something that I really, really needed when I went to university. When I had things like a lake to avoid and geese. So I think that is a very important consideration. The standard of education will differ between places, but the likelihood is that the majority will have small classes. The majority will have materials in the right format. I think particularly for Brailleists, this is a huge advantage that they tend to have libraries full of Braille books. I'm not a Braillist, as you would have heard earlier. That didn't help me, but and the computer systems. I seem to remember when you logged on to the computer system at Hereford, it presented you with four or five choices, different screen readers or magnifiers or whatever that you could have loaded for that session. I think it can be testing for some pupils going away from home. For those who have August birthdays, they would only just be 16. For those younger, specialist secondary and primary schools, there is the very real issue of not growing up with your family. I think moving away at almost 17, that wasn't so much an issue, and it allowed me to grow as a person, as myself. But I think it's a whole different thing if you go away from your parents at 4 or 5 or 11 or 12. Clearly, you don't have this sort of social experiment aspect to it at a specialist college, in specialist education. You know, the focus is on you learning and you moving on either to work or to further education with a small F. So I think there are, again, some really quite compelling benefits to specialist education. But I think there are some drawbacks. I think your ability to get on in all areas depends, again, on the person. I wasn't really very outgoing and so didn't do much on the social side. I was very much focused on my studies. And I think college allowed me to do that. I'm not saying that necessarily that it should have been any different. I think pastoral care can be different depending on the place. Hereford felt quite laissez-faire. I think other institutions maybe have a slightly different approach. I think my parents would take issue with the standard of the pastoral care. I gather that I came back after the first term covered in acne and not having had my hair cut and various things, they were quite upset that college hadn't done anything. But at the same time, it was that freedom which allowed me to really grow. And I don't think it's I don't think it's exaggerating really to say that if I hadn't gone to Hereford, I very, very much doubt I would have gone to university, and I doubt I would be in the kind of job that I'm in now. So I think I do owe a huge amount to Hereford, but I think the bottom line for this is that so much depends on the individual. It depends on what educational experience you've had so far. It depends on where you want to go in the future. It depends on your individual needs, not the needs of your condition, but the needs of you as a person. So my conclusion of this very rambly set of boos is that there isn't an answer to should it be specialist or mainstream education. This shouldn't be a default option. We shouldn't have local education authorities who will only send their pupils to specialist education, will only send their pupils to mainstream. There shouldn't be an assumption that a certain course will be followed. There should be an understanding that parents know their children, that children, even very young children, can know what they need and know what they aren't getting in the way of support. There is a real, real need for choice.